DJ Khaled. I'm getting so cold. I ain't wait this hard since I was 18. Apologize if I say anything I don't mean. I'm John Parker. This is Don't Do That, Bro. We got intro music. We're out here doing what we do best, and that's talking, yapping, giving game, getting dudes right, leading them away from the sand trap, giving them the right tool.
That 9-iron, bro.
Your favorite, you know what I'm saying? I'm not mad at it.
150-yard shot.
Hey, man. I prefer a nail and a hammer. It's my tool of choice. Beat it until it acts right. That's what I do.
Does that work out for you on a consistent basis?
Consistently.
Okay, good. What's up, y'all? I'm Dan Duncan. Trying not to force the issue on a consistent basis. But typically trying to rock the boat. Trying to help y'all win. Trying not to drop cell phones in the studio. And messing up the recording.
I just bring life, bro. I just bring variety and spice to things. All right? That was a well-planned drop right there. Boom.
This is your show. I'm just living in it.
Hey, man. You should, man. You know what I'm saying? So, Dan Duncan is already riled up. I don't know what happened. I don't know what's going on right now. But I am excited about this right now.
Y'all, JP is baiting me into a fight right now. Before we dive into this, I just want to shout out the folks that have been rating us on iTunes. Please, if you dig Don't Do That, Bro, tune in, share it with your friends. Go on iTunes and rate us 5 stars. You don't know how much it helps us kind of spread the word about Don't Do That, Bro. And you know, one of these days, that'll help us print some golf balls that say Don't Do That, Bro, and we'll send you all the balls.
Yep. And I just want to clear my name. There will be no public shaming for anyone that failed to come through on a promise that maybe I made. But if you listen to the show and you were one of the founding fathers of the listenership and you never received a t-shirt, hey, you know what? Satan is busy. You know, the devil. He's always up to something. And it's only been 2 years or so. But, man.
I listened to our first show the other day.
Did you?
You know you've been doing this for 2 years?
I just made that number up, but it sounds about right.
We've been doing this for 2 years, bro.
Hey, man. That's pretty good.
It is good. The first episode started with, this is the audio version of the articles that I write every week. That's how long ago that happened, was when you wrote on 4th District on a consistent basis.
You know, I've elevated my game since then. And
we didn't need you to write.
Hey, man, all the people want to do is hear these golden tones, and I give the people what they want. Ain't nobody reading.
That's fair. Thank you all for tuning in for 2 years.
I appreciate that you held it down as he changed the subject. So I'm going to leave that alone. I appreciate y'all, and if I see you in public, and if one more person asks me about something, I'm going to just do what Dan did. Change the subject, man. So I like how this works, man. Hey, we making men great again. That's what we do.
It's privilege, baby.
Hey, I like that privilege. You know what I'm saying? Use your privilege for good and not evil. Why not?
Got to.
All right, man. So if you're unfamiliar with how this show goes, you're already in it. This is what we do. We make life work. We give good game. We give good information. And we help men be great. We help men win. We give some little life caddying. And the goal of this is just to kind of make sure that men understand what it means to be men in a world full of men haters.
And typically just stop doing stupid shit.
That's probably number one point. That's the next t-shirt. You know what I'm saying?
Don't do dumb shit.
Yeah, stop it immediately. I see you put that down. That reminds me of a story. So this is all the way inappropriate. So if the children are listening, soccer moms, put them away. What, can you put the children away? I guess you can.
Or put us away.
One of the two.
Or put headphones in.
Most importantly, put the kids away. I think we're more important than the kids right now. So me and my friends are talking about inappropriate things. So the phrase that I just said, I see you, stop it, right? We're at a wedding, supposed to be paying attention, me and my buddy. And somehow, I guess at weddings, you just think about sex, right? So we were just imagining Adam in the garden before Eve came along.
This is you and another dude.
Me and another dude, okay. at the wedding, you know, just making small talk while people are saying vows or whatever the case may be. And we're imagining that before Eve came along, Adam was just running up and everything. And God was like, stop it, Adam, get out of that. Leave it alone. And he's like, oh, not this? Okay, my bad. It just kind of went on about his business in embarrassment and shame. So whenever I think of that phrase or whenever I hear somebody say stop it or leave it alone, That just reminds me of that great conversation we had in the wedding.
So wait, let me get this straight. Adam was just running around the garden, just trying everything.
Just laying it out, man. Just trying to see what's going on. Where does this go?
This is before Eve.
This is before Eve. He's just seeing what's going on, man. I could just imagine the Lord just yelling at him. Hey, stop it. Stop. Get out of that. Get out of that.
Put that away.
Put that away. So, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know where that came from. But
man, since, that's funny. That phrase will never be untainted for me, too.
Get out of that.
I don't know how this keeps ending up being two guys having this discussion with one another, but
hey, man,
it's like the ring. Like, once you see it, you've got like 7 days to live.
Hey, man, it's what I actually do at weddings, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't.
Is that what you do at weddings?
What else do you do?
Wait, dance, for the, have a drink or
this,
two.
This is during the ceremony.
Tweet, Instagram,
or you can talk about fun stories, or you can imagine what Adam was doing before Eve popped up.
You're right; that's better than Twitter and Instagram.
I think so. We had a good time. We enjoyed that conversation. So we make it men great again, and one of the ways we do that is by telling guys to enjoy weddings and do whatever you have to do to make that time more exciting, besides interrupt things. So if you need to tell a story, come up with your own theology, do whatever it is that you do to imagine things being nice and fun, you should do that. I don't know how I got there, but you just said
we digress.
You just said
on a consistent basis.
Hey, man, something that was, you know, what's the word I want to use? Inappropriate. And I felt like that was not the time or the place to be having that conversation, but it felt good. Making men great again. How are we making men great again today?
I don't know. You wouldn't tell me in pre-show, so.
I couldn't tell Dan because he was already worked up, so I didn't know, you know what I'm saying, if I should drop this bomb on him. Would you like to tell the folks what we were doing for 20 minutes before we started the show?
We were playing 20 questions with Alexa.
Who's Alexa?
She's the voice inside of my new Echo.
Amazon Echo, you say?
Uh-huh.
Alexis, what's her name?
Alexa.
I have no respect for Alexa. All I know is this man...
so much hate.
This man had me playing 20 questions with the Echo.
Just putting my business on the street.
And she was wrong. she couldn't even come up with the right guess.
She didn't get it right, that's true.
So... what I'm saying
and I wasn't
is,
counting the questions, but I think she went over 20.
She went over 20, couldn't guess it right. She clearly asked, does it live in water? And then asked, could it get wet or something? I don't know what it was.
Could water pass through it?
Yeah, is she drunk? Was she?
It could be a jellyfish that are that has osmosis.
Could be.
Bam.
But they don't have tails. And that was one thing you clearly established. Does it have a long tail? Yes. Okay. Not a jellyfish.
So you just only 20 questions is what this boils down to?
What this boils down is China is in your living room right now, all right? There is somebody on the other end of Alexa collecting all your details and all your information and saying, you know what? We got Dan Duncan. We're going to run up his credit. We're going to get a car in his name. We're going to buy a house. We're going to name our children after him. And when your kid gets 18, they're going to have all this stuff in their name. How did this happen? Oh, Alexa.
Does anyone in your house own an iPhone?
I personally do not, but my wife does, unfortunately.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So you're going to lecture me about phones that can listen, items that can listen.
Hers is broken, I'm sure. I know it's broken. As a matter of fact, I don't even know if the speaker works, so we're okay. we're quite all right.
Are you one of those paranoid dudes?
It's not paranoid. This is fact. Do you not listen to the news?
Like, are you the guy that, like, tapes over his, like, camera?
I'm a start. So I have a lady that I go to school with. Her son works for Donald Trump, and he told her, "Mom, this is what you need to start doing." And on her phone, she has a sticker over the top of her front camera, and I don't know what else, and her laptop as well. Her son works for the government, so if her son that works for the government is telling her to do these things, she said she saw an interview with Mark Zuckerberg. Is that his name, Zuckerberg?
Yeah.
And he had this camera covered up too. Mm-hmm. So there's something too. It's not about me being a conspiracy theorist. It's about the world, sir. Do you not watch Mr. Robot?
I mean, on some level, I have nothing to hide.
That's okay. Listen, you have privilege. Your credit is going to be good regardless of what you do, man. Somebody gets my information, it only gets worse for me. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't get better. I have children to think of, all right? My privilege doesn't extend towards, hey, it was an honest mistake. Alexa got that information. I don't know what she did with it. It wasn't me. No, I'm going to jail. That's what's going to happen, all right? And I don't want that to happen for me. I want to live a healthy life with my children around. So, the news. Let's just get to the facts, all right? So I'm just trying to help you right now. You know what I'm saying? And all the other men that have echoes in their house. What's the other device?
Google has theirs.
Google's, yep. Smart TVs, all of this stuff, right?
The Xfinity remote that you can speak into. Yep.
And my daughter, Sesame Street.
I love that remote, dude.
That remote.
It's the best, dude. I don't have to go searching through the channel guide.
See, this is just how
ESPN.
It goes back to our...
It's the best, man.
Bro, it goes back to our smartwatch conversation. You know what I'm saying? You can't count your steps. You got to have a device to tell you how many steps you've taken a day.
You're counting thousands of steps.
That was a silly example. All okay. I'm saying
is... Thank you for at least admitting that.
All I'm saying is the news, all right? So with smart TVs, it's fact that in order to give that command goes to a command center. It's a person hears your voice and the person does that. It's not the TV itself that's doing that. Fact. That
no,
if you leave,
wait, stop.
Yes, that's what happens.
No way, bro.
I'm listening. This is either NPR or whatever. I don't listen. I don't watch a lot of news.
There's not an Oompa Loompa on the other side of me saying ESPN. It happens instantaneously.
Okay,
bro.
I'm telling you, for smart TVs. Now, I don't know about Xfinity. Smart TVs, there was a particular brand. I can't remember right now. We can Google it. The commands goes to a command center. When your microphone is open, there are people listening to what you're saying and making that command happen. What was happening is that people were leaving the TV on or the remote on or whatever, and it was recording all of their information. Just like the Alexa, the dude that just killed somebody or the lady that just died, they're trying to subpoena Amazon to give them the Alexa's records because it recorded the whole thing, the whole murder.
All right, that's... I mean, so is that a bad thing?
I mean, well, technically it's illegal because they have to... Well, not illegal, but they have to jump through all these things to clear up, you know what I'm saying, the situation so they can get it. All I'm saying is if you're out telling... your social security number, if you're out telling your address, you're out telling your phone number, you're out whatever you're doing in the privacy of your own home, somebody's hearing that and potentially recording that. You know what I'm saying? And this is fact. These things are happening. So I'm saying, listen, man, I just feel free. Again, you can make some moves I can't. You know what I'm saying? So right now, I have to be precautious and make sure that I'm safe and that all the devices have stickers over the cameras and that I don't say anything in my own home that could be used against me in a court of law. That's all I'm saying. That's how I'm just trying to make men great again. You know what I'm saying? You can spend 20 minutes a day playing 20 questions with Alexa if you would like. I have no problems with that. I want you to enjoy your life. But all I'm saying is there's a cost.
Case, I rest my case.
Hey, man, I just dropped the mic, man. I'm waiting, man. I ain't even going to make eye contact with you. I'm looking over here, bro. What you got to say, man?
Y'all tell this man that he is wrong about this. That he needs to come into the 21st century and realize that he's going to own an electric car.
That's I do.
Huh?
I do own
no,
an electric
you will
car.
Own an electric car. Can I finish?
Nope. Yes.
You're going to own an electric car that you're going to get in the car and you're going to say, hey, go here. You're not going to punch it in. That car is going to listen to you. You know where that technology is going to come from? Alexa.
I don't want it. I'm going to drive my car with no computer in it. It's going to be a 1967 Stingray, if they even made those in 1967. And everything will be man-powered with my hands and a tool. I'm going to put an engine in it myself, change the tires, change the oil, make sure I do what I got to do to make that thing work. No computers allowed.
You drive an electric car right now, though,
hey, man.
Right?
Hey, listen. And I use my phone for GPS. That's all I'm saying. If I need to, I'm going to go buy a GPS.
So the NSA knows exactly where you are.
Yeah. But then I turn it off when I get home. Location off.
You're making a very black and white issue, not so black and white for yourself.
Hey, man, I'm just saying. I know when to hold them and I know when to fold them. All right? And right now, Alexa is not helping me hold anything. You know what I'm saying?
All
right,
let's let the people decide. We'll put up a Twitter poll on Don't Do That, Bro.
Yep.
Alexa or no Alexa. And we'll let the people decide.
Hey, man, listen, I used to trust people, but I don't trust people so much. That's why I'm telling them right now, just say no. You know what I'm saying?
I will say, the day, and this will happen to our Dungeons and Dragons Comic-Con people probably first, but probably people that collect comics.
Don't come for them. Don't come for me unless I send for you, sir.
They'll fall in love. Someone will fall in love with Alexa.
I guarantee you somebody's already proposed to Alexa. I guarantee. Have you seen the TV shows with the people doing that weird stuff? Like they have fetishes or they're in love with a tractor or...
Yes.
Is that
yes.
real? Is that spoof stuff?
No, I think that's real, bro. I watched one that she was like in love with the Eiffel Tower.
Oh my gosh, bro.
Like you couldn't fall in love with a bigger phallic symbol.
Like the biggest.
The biggest phallic symbol in the world you fell in love with.
Yep.
But there will be someone yeah. who finds the comfort in his Alexa.
Well, earlier today, Alexa thought I said, "Are you single?" when I asked her, "Are you Satan?" And she gave me the parameters of what she wanted in a mate. Someone that's, what does she say? Artificially intelligent and all these different things. So, I don't know, bro. She might be turning a lot of dudes down. All I'm saying is, making men great again is minimize the digital imprint that you have in your home. Make your home a safe environment for your children, for yourself, for your roommates if you're unmarried, for just whoever comes into your home. Don't have these cloud things just over your head. Just don't have open microphones everywhere you go. Just be safe, man.
I feel real safe.
It's not that serious. Read a book. Go outside and play. Cook on the grill. Enjoy your friends. Go to the zoo.
Hey, you know what I did today? I hung out with friends. Mm-hmm. I cooked on the grill.
Yep.
And I listened to music while I read a book.
And guess what? Alexa knows all of that stuff.
And I'm fine with that.
All right. Hey, listen. You'll see the poll. If you're fine with Alexa being in your house and Echo and Amazon and whoever else, I want you to live your life. All I'm saying is I'm off the grid. I'm going to get solar panels on my house. I got a cooling system that doesn't involve.
You're a prepper. You are a prepper.
Hey, man. I have no problems with that.
Hey, like, man. Will you buy the bomb shelter and put it in your backyard?
Nah, bro.
Dig it like 10 feet deep?
Nah, I got other bills I need to be worried about.
If that bomb, a year's supply of water.
If the bomb hits, if a nuclear bomb hits, it's a wrap, bro. But you're not going to outlive tainted soil. It's a wrap. I've seen the movies. You just die slowly and spit up your lung after a while. And you just crawl to your death.
Jeez.
As limbs fall off, bro. I have no time for that.
Some mom turned this back on, hoping that this was about to get clean. And she just heard about nuclear fallout. And her kids were like, "Mommy, what is he talking about?"
Hey, man. Your kids need to learn. If they don't know about nuclear fallout by now, your boy number 45 is in office. So I'm just saying, prep the children. You know what I'm saying?
Hashtag prep the children.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm about, man.
He's not your president, though, right?
Apparently, if I live in America, he is, man. So, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't with it enough to get the hashtag, "He's not my president." You know what I'm saying? I succumbed to it, you know?
You've accepted
it. I've accepted the facts, man. There's nothing we can do about it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right, so making men great again. If you don't understand what I'm saying today, safe your house, prep your house, be ready, prep the children, make sure everybody knows what's happening in the future, and don't be caught by surprise, man. When you get that bill in the mail, when you check your credit report, when you look at your score and you wonder why you got a 15, that's your credit score, 15. When you wonder why that's happening, it's because you got Alexis in your household. All I'm trying to do is get you right, man, and make sure that you're safe out here in these streets. When you're like Dan, you got that privilege and nothing goes wrong in your life. There's no clouds. Every day is sunshine. You can have all that. You can have 17 Alexis in your house and you can marry one. But I'm just saying, if that's not your life, be safe out there.
All right.
All right.
All right.
Prep the children.
Play 20 questions after we're done tonight.
I bet you are. All right, man. So listen, we've been on a serious run, you know. I think, you know, at least the last one. Is that a run for us?
You know, we set the bar low for ourselves.
You know what I'm saying?
So yeah, we've been consistently having seriouser.
Yep. Alexa?
Conversations over the last one episodes.
Yep. So we're pretty consistent with the things that we do, right? So I have a little bit more follow-up for that. So a lot of things that I've been noticing lately with dudes is that last week we kind of talked about emotions and being the emotional leaders in the house. Side note, you saw the Twitter exchange back and forth about the lady saying that we are off, or I was off. I don't have to put her out there, but you know what I'm saying? And so I asked her, like, "Well, tell me what I was off about," or whatever, you know, so we can get this thing right. And I think she hit me with not a slut shame, it was a woman shaming about a comment I made, or whatever the case may be.
Oh, no, I missed this.
Yeah, you missed it? Yeah, I think you were added in the conversations. She wasn't being malicious or nothing like that. I asked her to tell me what it was. But I just wanted to tell her I'm going to shame everyone. That's what I do.
She said, her tag, oh, it's Sojourner Ruth. She's an OG. All
right, I didn't.
She's okay, an OG.
Fine, all right.
Yeah. But she goes, "Some of the things you were a bit off, but I did agree with a lot you and Dan Dunk discussed." So she's
further up.
Okay. She goes, I would have to listen again and get back to you.
Two more.
So I listened to the podcast, and sometimes it seemed that you were shaming girls, i.e. don't be that girl. She goes, I understand that it can be difficult to discuss women's issues as men, but sometimes it can come across as insensitive. Hope that made sense. No, I think we all understand what we mean by we say don't be that girl and don't be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
We're equal opportunity. Don't be that person.
Everybody gets to work, man. You know what I'm saying? Hey, if you want to be a crowd pleaser, go ahead. Not Sojourner Ruth, but I'm just saying, if you listen to this show and you happen to be a woman and I say don't be that girl, if you want to be that girl, live your life.
Live your life. We are here to help you win, not tell you how to live.
That's it. And if you're a woman looking to get advice on this show, you're on the wrong show.
Right. I think there's a warning before every single episode that says, what you're about to listen to is two dudes talking.
Yep, pretty much.
The end.
Pretty much. So I do appreciate Sojourner Ruth because she allowed me to think deeply about things that I need to think deeply about. And what I realized is, like, hey, I need to shame guys more. That's the end of that. So, hey, man.
We need to focus our attention.
That's it, man. I've been sidetracked, and I apologize for that, young man. So what we're doing here is talking about male relationships. You know what I'm saying? Talking about what it means to be a man in a relationship with another man. You like the way that sounds? Do you enjoy being in relationships with men?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you enjoy being intimate with men?
Sure.
You like intimacy?
Yeah.
I like that. I like that you like being intimate with men. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel like we're going in the right direction.
Good. Right. Do we need to hold hands or should we just keep going?
We can touch feet and everything if you want to. Is that too intimate
for
you?
Yeah, I'm uncomfortable.
See, you ain't trying to be relational.
That's the line.
That is the line. That is the ultimate line. If you can touch another man's foot with your bare foot, you have arrived.
Man.
You ready to take that step with me, man?
Nope.
Let's take that step, man.
Nope. Can't do it. Keep going. Keep going. Please keep going.
So this is exactly what I'm talking about, man. If you're a guy, you're listening, and you can't touch another man's foot with your foot, you're not ready for this. You're not on that level, man.
Okay.
All right?
I'm all ears, bro.
I was trying to convince you to do these feats, man. We're going to do the whole episode with feats touching.
Nope.
All right, man. So a lot of times dudes get awkward in thinking through what does it mean to be in a relationship with a dude? First of all, I don't even think enough dudes think about what that is, right?
Sure.
You know, friendship, brotherhood, camaraderie. We see it a lot in sports. We don't really see it in business because it's pretty cutthroat and everybody's out to get each other. You know what I'm saying? But on a daily level, one-to-one, you know, and maybe even a group setting, there isn't enough clear definitions of what it means to be in a relationship with another dude, right? And so the angle that I'm coming from is that we as men need to know what type of men we have in our lives so that they can fulfill different things that are needed to be fulfilled, right? So in your, without having any pre-warning, right, what would you consider the definition of a relationship with a man to be, like a friendship, a brotherhood? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Do you have enough?
Yeah, I think I would say the guys that I like kind of, you know, deem as like brothers or like close friends are dudes that I can consistently sit on the back porch, kind of talk through, hey, this is what I'm thinking through without feeling like I'm going to be judged or someone's going to try to fix the problem right away. Mm-hmm. But I can kind of just be like, talk through the crazy things that I'm thinking that I probably wouldn't tell anyone else.
All right. And where does intimacy lie in that? Is that a foreign concept? Is that something that fits into what you just described?
I think intimacy in that relationship to me is probably trust.
Okay.
That's what I would say.
All right.
Yeah. Again, I probably get uncomfortable with talking about intimacy in any other term. I can't. Yeah. There's no, because it's like, right, because we're dudes.
So we are.
Intimacy, the first thing that comes to mind when I think of intimacy, obviously, is like the physical side of it.
Mm-hmm.
That is reserved for my wife. So,
oh, really? Oh, you're not sharing that with none of the bros?
I mean, this ain't that type of...
Okay, all right, cool.
I'm not in a fraternity.
Got it, gotcha.
Shout out to all the fraternities in the country. Yep. Yeah, no circle jerks.
Oh, God.
Intimacy wise, crossing that line.
That's a boundary.
Is that what you're saying?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not even close.
Good.
Yep.
I like establishing that as a pretty strong wall a barrier.
Strong, strong barrier. That's a 45 Trump wall that we're building right now.
So, what do you mean when you suggest intimacy?
So, I think the best way to describe it is kind of like some of the things that you've already, you know, said, right? Someone that knows you, that understands you, someone that has seen you grow and develop, some being intimate with another man, just consists of just the being vulnerable and being able to accept chastisement, correction, love, be able to also give that back to that person or to someone else in particular. So it's of course, you know, it's not like you mentioned before, it's not the same intimacy you would have with your wife or girlfriend or whatever the case may be, but it's a level of closeness that's necessary to facilitate growth and development.
So actually, I thought about this the other day because have you ever seen the film Green Street Hooligans?
Nope. I missed that
one. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. It was probably Elijah Wood's like best movie ever.
Okay.
But anyway, it's all about hooliganism in London. So like each soccer or football club has like their quote unquote firm, which is kind of like a gang, I guess.
Go around beating up people on football days.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. But he kind of talks about it in the movie as like the first time he ever experienced like a group of guys that he had that like he had their back, they had his back, and he would take a punch for them. And he kind of like goes into this thing. And I think there's truth in that of like the dudes that I'm closest with, like it would not be a second thought to stand up for them, take a punch for them, kind of like roll on whatever situation needed to be rolled on. Mm-hmm. And those are the guys that like I kind of keep closest. And then there's dudes that I'm like, nah, bro, you go get punt. Like,
right.
I'm not help. And I think that's very quickly how I can define who is with me, who am I with. And that's probably as strange as it sounds, like the physical side of intimacy is like that, like, who am I willing to protect?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think that's an important feature of the whole dynamic, right? There is a spiritual connection. There is an emotional connection, right? There is, it could be spiritual if you want to put it in that box, but there's also the physical because, again, we're dudes, right? And so it's like, yeah, you know how intimate you are with somebody if you're willing to take that L or to provide a beat down to somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like, you might not, you know what? We may not win this. It's me, you, and him against them.
And I disagree with why you're in this freaking fight.
Right.
Like, it's like, damn, you went and opened your mouth again. Okay, we'll handle this. Yeah. And then I'm going to beat the shit out of you, too.
Right,
because you should have kept your mouth shut.
Exactly.
And not hit on that guy's girl.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
But right now, I'm going to pretend like I don't know that little fact. And we're going to handle this.
All facts aside, let's do what we got to do, right? Yeah. And even if you never get into an altercation or anything like that, the idea is that next level is present within the relationship. So it's having the vulnerability, being able to physically exert whatever that means to be in that relationship, but again, it's for the benefit of growth and development, right? So on a basic level, dudes need to have guys in their life that kind of fit in maybe three categories, just very putting it broadly, right? So you have guys that you, and we may have talked about this briefly somewhere else, but people that pour into you, right? That may not necessarily get anything from you, right? Mm-hmm. So, hey, man, I give Dan all this game all the time. Boom, 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 boom. But he doesn't give me any game, right? You got to have, you know, you got to have somebody and that's in that department where they just filling you up, right?
Mm-hmm.
There might be some people in your life where you're just giving them game. Da, 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 you know what I'm saying? And they're not giving, you know, anything back to you. And then there's some people that may be a little bit of both, right? And I think that those three elements are important because when you have somebody that's just pouring into you, it causes you to be humble, right? It teaches you to kind of submit to their authority, you know, in a sense, right?
Sure.
So then when it's time for that to be replicated, you know, it can be done.
Sure.
It helps you to kind of be focused and balanced and understand that, hey, your worldview and the way you see things and the way you go about things isn't always the best, right? And there could be room for improvement. And it allows you to have like a mentoringship type of situation where preferably an OG, you know, somebody that's been through some things. You don't want to have somebody that's just pouring into you that's your same age, unless they're just balling and got everything going on, which can happen. But you want to make sure the person that you're getting the game from isn't pulling from a shallow pool. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
You know, so you want to make sure that there's some depth involved in that. And I think that that's what comes from that type of relationship where somebody's just pouring into you, right? Do you have somebody like that?
No, I don't. And I think it's something that I was actually going to circle back on later in the conversation, but we can definitely have it now. You know, this is something that like is a huge point of like frustration for me because I'm turning 30 this year. Entrepreneurs like love what I do, but finding guys like 20 years down the road from me, they're all like hitting that retire button and 30 years down the road from me hitting that retire button. And they're like, hey, I don't really want to like complicate my life by pouring back in. So like, or get the guys that are 15 years down the road are super busy. So this has been something I've looked, man. I've literally pulled dudes aside and been like, I need someone to mentor me. I would love it to be you. And typically it's like one or two kind of conversations and then it trails off because life gets busy, life gets hard, whatever. And I get that. But I feel like, especially for the like 25 to 35 year old dudes listening, my guess is if they're like me, this is like really hard to find someone who is that 20 years older, who's willing to pour in. It was easy when I was in high school, right? When I was in high school, easy. When I was in college, fairly easy to find an older guy who's willing to kind of take me under his wing and I could kind of ask a bunch of questions and learn from, and they could call me, he could call me on my stuff and kind of pour into me. But yeah, at this stage of my life, man, it's hard to find. Like, I don't have that person.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm in the same boat, right? For me, it comes in a, I know part of my issue is because I haven't had too many positive interactions with older dudes, especially older black men, in my, I guess, personal stages of development. I've ran into several older guys that saw that I had a gift or a talent or a skill set and wanted to use that to their advantage. And once I started to wise up or I had some other thing that I wanted to do, they stopped being concerned with me, right? Let's see. Or I don't know what's going on in their mind. I just know my phone stopped ringing. You know what I'm saying? Sure. So do I give examples? Is that
does that let's work? Let's do it, bro.
All right. So
we don't pull punches.
And not necessarily to I'm afraid of talking about the people, but just, you know, do you want to hear some stories?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Story time.
Yeah.
Llama, red pajama. Sorry. That's another inside situation. Just Google. You can do Migos, llama, red pajama. You can do Lecrae, llama, red pajama. Just, you know, if you get some free time.
And if you see any differences, let me know. Keep going.
Itty-hoo. So, yeah, man. So, when I was in college, you know, became a Christian, was at a church. I guess, for whatever was going on in my life, maybe it was my, like, you know, regular zeal, I think, and zest that everybody has when they first become involved in anything, you know, church, religion, Christianity, Islam, whatever. I think just that initial pull and the desire, like, oh, this is amazing, right? Even in relationships, everything is in the beginning. It's all exciting, right? You go gung-ho. So I think over time, I was being groomed potentially to, you know, be a leader of the church or the leader when he dies. I don't know, whatever that looks like. But as I started to develop and think through things and understand things differently and see scripture different, all these different things, personal views on things. To the point, like, the dude was like, oh, men don't wear jeans. I wasn't wearing jeans. I was like, why don't men wear jeans? But all right, well, I guess we don't wear jeans unless we're painting houses or doing something. Like, who wants to paint a house in jeans? That's uncomfortable. I got these sweats on. You know what I'm saying? Maybe in 1957, cats really use carpenter jeans to be carpenters, but not so much, man. That's just a style at some point. So it was just my worldview was shaped by his influence. And then once I started to have normal questions and normal things that a 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, you know, would have, it became rebellion and it got seen as me not wanting to accept without questions what was being given to me. You know what I'm saying? Even in the lines of, you know, faith and scripture and things of that nature. And so over time, that relationship kind of faded off. And when I decided, like, hey, man, this ain't the place for me no more, I guess I became a prodigal son or something like that. You know what I'm saying? It was a couple of attempts to reach out, but because I decided I didn't want to be at the church anymore and that I wasn't moving in the direction of health and this thing just wasn't good for me mentally, spiritually, physically, whatever, then crickets, right? After that, and again, this is me 6, 7, 8, 9 years of just going in like, man, I'm just 20. Well, I guess around year 4, I kind of faded off. Like, yo, this ain't what I think this is or whatever, right? To the point where I was even dissing my own father to kind of, I mean, I came to Atlanta. My dad was sick. He had a surgery. I came to spend time with him. The pastor flew into town. My last day in town, he had me out with him all the whole time. Didn't come in and see my dad. My dad was like, yo, when I got back home, like, dude, you've been gone all day. It's your last day with me. Like, what's going on? Your pastor didn't even come in and say hi, da, 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 da. And it was just like, just no regard for the role that my father even played. And he didn't even give me any information that, like, how I should treat my father, how I should deal with my father, even if it's about a gospel representation and even being like, hey, this might be an opportunity for you to share the faith with your dad or whatever. It's like, nah, I'm more important than him. Come with me, and this is what we're doing. You know what I'm saying? So I just feel like that wasn't the best at the time. And maybe that's the best he knew to do, whatever. You know, hey, it's all good, right? You move on.
That's a super interesting point. Mm-hmm. Because the guys that have mentored me, and I'd love for you to, like, kind of, you know, I don't know if diagnose is the right word, mm-hmm. but it seems like, you know, very, like, close mentorships kind of do, mine did, especially in high mm-hmm. school. When, you know, me and my dad's relationship wasn't everything it could have been as a father-son relationship at that point in time. It became that later in life. But for that season of time, it wasn't. And I had guys who were mentoring me who were amazing mentors. And there was always this season of, like, the mentorship was, like, very healthy. Mm-hmm. And then it crossed the line into they became father figures. Mm-hmm. And I think they wanted that as much as I wanted a father figure. Yeah. And I leaned into that, and the last guy that really mentored me, we still have a good relationship, and he did an amazing job of mentoring me and kind of setting me up for success, giving me a lot of my first opportunity in the film world, and really kind of helped push me into that and not kind of, you know, fall into fear. There was a lot of, like, fear-based decision-making that I was dealing with as I was coming out of high school, and he really helped kind of me see that, but... You know, there was a group of, like, five young guys who he kind of, like, kind of mentored. And a few of us leaned heavier into that. And I was actually the one to be like, hey, I don't think that this has kind of gone too close to being a father. And, like, I don't need a father. I have a father. Mm-hmm. I'd love for you to keep mentoring. And it was honestly this break of, like, no, either you're going to be this close with me or you're not mm-hmm. this close with me. Mm-hmm. And it's weird to see, like... And it's an encouragement to those guys who are mentoring young men. Hey, like, be okay with the fact that he has a dad.
Yeah.
Don't try to become his dad. Yeah. And that's, you know, two random dudes are sitting on this mics talking and have very similar stories of mentors who want to become fathers. I don't know if there's just something in us as men that's like, that's the natural progression. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I didn't need that. I needed a real mentor. I didn't need another dad.
Yeah. I mean, and making it, you know, super Christian is like, you know, people that are about discipleship, but then they want to make disciples of themselves and not Jesus, mm-hmm. right? So the issue becomes, hey, something must happen within people or men where it's like, yo, the people that I'm taking under my wing, either intentionally or unintentionally, there's some intrinsic thing that makes me lean towards them becoming like me. And when they don't become like me, then the frustration and the blah, 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 blah happens, right?
Yep.
You're failing. You're not, you know, replicating yourself. And that's not the goal, I don't think, in mentorship nor in discipleship, right? So I think the idea is that, hey, like you're saying, we have to win. Again, we'll get to this in a second with the other description of the two people. But just knowing that there's that line that needs to exist potentially in those relationships. And I think oftentimes on the negative end of that is that when I was younger, you know, parents divorced, and the dudes that came around were usually only coming around because they were trying to holler at my mom. And then they would pay me minimal attention, but they never really took me under their wing. But it was more so, you know, hey, if they were trying to holler cool, and when she was like, shut that down, then there was no more intention mm-hmm. to me or whatever. And it's funny, at the church I was growing up, I think a lot of that myself was being young and pushing dudes away. And just being, you know, just being a teenager, having questions. And, you know, I remember the biggest debate I got in with the dudes at my church, the older guys at some men's breakfast. I was like, so why do we have to wear church clothes? Like, why do we have to wear suits and ties? Like, I don't want to wear any of this. Like, I've been on this for a long time, since I was like 12. And they couldn't give me an answer. And they just became frustrated because they themselves had to say that it's not a biblical mandate. There's nothing that God requires that a man has to wear a suit and tie when going to church. You know
sure,
what I'm saying?
Sure.
Instead of just saying that, they wanted to come up with all these circular arguments. And then after that point, I don't remember any dude, some guys did, but not too many people wanting to, you know, invest in my life. Like
yeah,
that,
yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Because rocking
I,
the boat.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because I asked the hard questions or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. And then I think the other, you know, other examples of times that I've had older dudes, I had this other older guy, Met through a friend of mine at a barbershop. He was like, yo, you know, this guy runs a law school. I know you're trying to go to law school, or he's part of a law school. Something's going on, and let me introduce you. So the guy ends up being a scam artist, right? This dude writes a book about the Hustler's Handbook. Of course, I didn't get it at the time. I was like, oh, he's a hustler. Oh, that's cool. You got to hustle, right? Meanwhile, I'm getting hustled. So long story short, this dude says, hey, man, we're going to create a business. We're going to have the limousine service. Limousine, that's my daughter's accent right now. Seat down. So Nemo, sorry. Limousine service. Nemo, Elmo. Sorry, man. All right, sorry.
They're her heroes, bro.
I just heard her way of saying that. Limo. So a limousine, we're going to provide this limousine service to this boat in the bay. We're in Oakland, and that boat's going to go out. We're going to have music playing. It could be dinner dates. It could be whatever, 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 right? He took me to this boatyard. The boat probably wasn't even his or somebody he knows. Somehow or another, he convinced me to buy this car. That was going to be the limo car. We go to the dealership. The car is in my name only. He gets cash back for the car, right? And then his wife ends up driving the car. Then she's not paying the note. They're getting tickets and not paying for him, and all the stuff is coming back to me. And I'm like, bro, like, I think I just got worked. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, he was an older black dude, right? Then the next thing, I was doing coaching with this basketball guy. As soon as I mentioned, I think I'm moving to Atlanta. You know, he had all these grand plans for what we were going to do and who we were going to become. And, you know, we're going to be the best coaches ever. And then, hey, I think I'm moving to Atlanta Crickets. You know what I'm saying? And, like, get married. I'm trying to tell him what's going on, calling him, no return calls, no text messages, no nothing. And it's just like, I could just see in why I mentioned all these stories briefly is that story after story after story, either somebody was trying to get over on me, or once I didn't show interest in what they wanted and what they were trying to get from me, then they pulled a disappearing act.
So how does, to kind of close the loop on this, dudes listening, 25, 35, even in college, high school, how do you find a mentor in the healthy way?
I think you need to probably clearly define for yourself what you think that you're looking for, or what you may need, which may be difficult in the teenage realm. It's easy for us. We're a little older. We got business adventures we're trying to do. Business ventures we're trying to do, and different things that we're very specific. Hey, I'm a dad. Going to be a dad. Hey, I got business. Hey, I'm trying to move in this direction with my with what I'm trying to do. I think if you're younger, it's just having someone that can see you grow, know your gifts and talents and your skill sets, and try to I won't say lead you, but kind of move you in a direction of working towards those gifts and talents and skill sets, and being able to be like, hey, man, stop doing that, because that ain't it. I know you want to rap. I know you want to be a poet. I know you want to build cars with your hands. I know you want to break bricks with your head, whatever it is you're trying to do, but that ain't what you need to be doing, right? Yeah. So it's really trying to identify goals. And again, goals may change, right? So if you're young, teenage, high school, whatever, if you think this is what you're doing, find people in the industry that you're trying to go into, and these are the people you need to approach about, you know, mentoring you, leading you, and providing guidance in that direction.
Yeah, I think it's establishing who you want your life to look like. And I think it's definitely on the onus of the mentor to not try to create them in his own image. But I do think it is on the onus of, like, those seeking to be mentored, that it's like, I see you, I see where you're at in life, I see your values, I want to learn from you, because I would love to develop in that way. Yep. I remember one dude trying to, like, mentor me through premarital counseling. And he was like, yeah, man, like, love to sit down with you and your wife. And I, like, in the nicest way possible, was like, nah, like, man, I'm good. Because I saw his marriage, and I was like, I don't want my marriage to look like your marriage.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like, there's nothing about your marriage that I want for my own marriage. So, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
And I know that was hurtful, because I think he had a genuine heart of, like, hey, I want to help you.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think, if you're looking to find a mentor, I think you have to be honest and say, and find people who you're like, I want my life to look like your life.
And that's a tricky one too, because it's one of those things, like, all right, if the drunk guy tells you, hey, don't drink, do you say, well, you can't tell me shit because you drink? He's probably an expert on not drinking, right? But at the same time, if he tells you not to drink, you know what I'm saying? What do you do with that, right? So it's one of those things where, like, man, if you see somebody's life, or you see what they're doing, and they're telling you one way or another, again, if the alcoholic tells you not to drink, clearly it ain't working for you, so I'm not listening to your advice. But I think that might be good advice depending on the situation.
Sure.
So it's, I think that's if you're a mentor, or I don't know. It's just tricky. You know what I'm saying? So I think that not saying anything contrary to what you're saying, it's just hard, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because it's bad when people potentially can be good as far as helping, giving you guidance, but when you see their life, you're like, nah, bro. I don't think your life reflects the values or whatever it is that I'm trying to live. You know what I'm saying? But it's just like, man, like I'm only cautious to say, hey, blanketly reject somebody that you see as not going in a direction that you don't think you want to go in, just for the simple fact that they sometimes people like there's a saying that said those who can do and those who can't teach. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So it's like, hey, man, you're not the best engineer, but you sure can work these books and tell people how to be good engineers. You know what I'm saying? So, but
it's a good point. Yeah. It's a good point.
But again, I wasn't trying to be combative with that. You know what I'm saying?
No.
I think that's
it's a
valid.
Good point. Yeah.
So I think there's both ends to that.
Cool.
You know what I'm saying?
Cool.
So the other end is when you talk. So first we were just kind of highlighting, hey, what it means to have somebody to pour into you. The other end is what it means to have somebody that you pour into.
Sure.
Why this is important is because you need to be actively leading, guiding, mentoring someone else. One, it sharpens your skill set, it holds you accountable, and it also makes sure that, hey, the things that you're saying and telling other people to do, you yourself are practicing.
Sure.
Right? And it gives you the opportunity to pour in, pay it forward, you know, whatever cliche term you want to use, to someone else's life, so that that circle is kind of repeating itself. You know, you kind of having that replication model. And oftentimes people are selfish and greedy and they just want people to pour into them, but they don't want to give back. And that's problematic. That's not what men do. Men fill that circle. You know,
for sure.
Saying?
For sure.
Yeah.
So do you have that person?
For me right now, unfortunately, no. And I'm over two. That's why I think this is an important thing, right? I don't have a mentor and I'm not mentoring. I have let school, I've let wife, I've let two kids and jobs and businesses get in the way of me being able to effectively do that for other people. You
sure.
know what I'm saying? I make excuses and it's bad. And that's why I need somebody that needs to be hemming me up, right? Because I think I have a lot of information that I can tell people. My excuse is, hey, I'm a therapist and I do this every day and I try to do it for a living. But there's still some young dude. I mean, I live next door to a park and there's cats out there hooping all the time. And I'm like, I'm just too lazy to play basketball. How old am I that I don't want to play basketball anymore, right? I'm like, these kids, I just want to be in the house. I walk by the park, taking my kid to the playground. And I'm like, all these young men just out here probably need some dude to holler at them. You know what I'm saying? But, and it's hesitancy too, to be like, all right, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna have a bunch of hot dogs and cookies and cake and I'll make them for the kids. And after, I'm like, yo, now you're the Pied Piper and you're getting arrested. You know what I'm saying? So figuring out how to do it, which isn't hard. I can go to a school, I can volunteer, I can join 100 Black Men. There's so many things I can do, but I just make excuses, man. You
sure.
know what I'm saying? And
sure.
It's a problem.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I think I've been blessed to live with an amazing woman who has let us use our guest bedroom as a place where there's guys that the Lord just kind of, sorry to make this super Christian, brings into my life. And it's like, hey man, why don't you come live? Because I face the same challenges of running businesses. Time is a premium for me, but it works out fairly well when you have an empty guest bedroom and it's like, hey, you need a place to stay. You probably need like a little bit of advice here and there. Man, come live and we'll kind of try to create a healthy rhythm of hearing what you have to say, hearing what you're processing, and hopefully I can offer a little bits of advice. And man, I think too, it's this is where you gotta, you know, I have to eat my own words of like, I would love to say the onus should be on the people wanting to be mentored.
Right.
The onus should be on, hey, I see you, I would love for you to be mentor me, but that step is really hard for the young cats who are trying to find that person. Yeah. So if you are the older person being like, hey, I'm here and available, I want to make myself available to you, that says a lot. And I think it sets the relationship up pretty well of like, hey, if you want this, great. If not, no worries.
Yeah.
And for me, I stay away from these networking events and these kind of like film get-togethers. Because to be honest, I don't need them anymore.
Yeah.
But if I was serious about mentoring and doing what we're talking about, which I do think, I mean, it's so healthy. It provides such a healthy outlet, to go pursue those relationships, and be available, I think is of huge value. And probably avoid situations that would put myself in a place where someone could ask me that question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. But if I'm going to sit here and complain about not older men not mentoring me, I probably need to like pony up and do even a better job of going and pursuing that.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's real, bro. Like it's a difficult thing. You know what I'm saying? And it's, I don't know if it's a part of the culture, or where we are right now, but just the idea of doing both of these well, you know, getting it and giving it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. There's an isolationism that I think we as a country, and as a society typically lean heavily into is like, hey, I'm going to take care of me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to, everyone else can kind of take care of themselves. I had to figure it out for myself, which is bullshit because most likely you had somebody help you get to where you are.
Come on, man.
And anyone that's like telling themselves like, nah, I made my own way. Like, I think I could probably sit down and hear your story and be like, nope, that person.
Right.
That person, whether you want to admit it or not, helped you get to where you are today and they mentored you.
Yeah.
That's what I think probably the simplest definition of a mentor is someone who here's where you want to be and helps you get to that place.
Amen. You got me saying amen. What is happening right now? What just happened, bro?
Sirius and Jesus.
Oh,
gosh.
My gosh. What is in this Oktoberfest you got over here? I don't want no more of this, man. Keep this away from me. All right, man. So I think the another category, which may seem redundant, but it's still separate, is having someone in your life where both of those things can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Or none of those things, right? We could just somebody you just kick it with. And you just enjoy the time. We talk about Jordans. We talk about TV, comic books, life, or whatever. And it doesn't necessarily have to get to all the deepest levels ever, but it wouldn't hurt if that can also be there, right? So it's like you got the mentor, you're mentoring, and then you just have relationships with people. Don't have relations with people, but relationships with people to where it can get serious. It can be shallow. It could be both. It could be none. It could be neither. It could be, you know what I'm saying? Whatever that looks like. Because you need that genuine camaraderie. You need that genuine fellowship. You need that time where that person knows you deeply. Because a mentor may not necessarily know you deeply. Potentially they can. But depending on where you catch them in life and what you have going on, they may not know you deeply. And so when they're pouring into you, they're just giving you game to where they got to where they are. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, this is how I got here. This is what I did. But it's not like, hey, man, I see you doing this, that, and other thing, and maybe you shouldn't do that or blah, 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 right? So you need to have people in your life that can see who you are, see where you're going, see what you're about, and make sure that, you know, they can speak into you and you can receive that, right? And at the same time, y'all can just kick it, you know? And if you have people in your life that are just sucking the life out of you all the time, that could be, you know, draining.
Yeah.
If you have people that are just talking at you all the time, that could be draining. So you want to make sure you have a good mix of folks around you too, or if it's just one person, whatever, that you can have all of that.
Not
of
Alexa.
That, some of that. Right. Alexa, not so much.
Doesn't qualify,
but I guarantee, like you said, somebody's going to be like, oh, I got my help meet. Oh, I got my Alexa. We in there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
The yes machine. I think this is the thing that, like, you know, one, I'm super thankful to say, like, I have an amazing group of friends, 4th District, and, you know, just other people who are in my life who are dudes who know me and call me on my stuff. And I think I value that so highly to be able to say, like, guys who are willing to say, like, you're full shit.
Yep.
Because we are, like, I mean, dudes typically, like, we will pretend to be okay. We will find the right answers. We will get our spiel together and be able to regurgitate that spiel on a consistent basis of why things are okay or why you got your stuff together. And to have friends that are be like, but really, do you do, like, really? Mm-hmm. And to be vulnerable enough to hear what they have to say and respect them enough that it's of value when you're hearing it. I think that's, man, that's like a full life when you have those friends in your life who can do that. And I think, you know, again, as we live in a culture that isolates ourselves so much, that's really something that we lack heavily.
Yeah.
We go to Facebook for advice. We, like, man, it kills me every time I see someone literally going to Facebook to be like, hey, I don't know what to do about this. It's like, you had, this was the first thought.
Right. I need to go to Facebook.
Like, that's where my friends are.
Yep.
That can help give me advice.
Yep.
And it's like, dang.
what's happening.
Don't do that, bro.
Don't do that, bro.
Like, find, there's someone in your life.
Yes. A real life person.
That is willing to do life with you.
Yep.
Like, and I think, too, it's a lot of framing up the, like, calling the relationship what it is. Like, yeah. Giving that other person, like, hey, did you know, like, you are this person, for me?
Yeah.
And putting that responsibility on them, I think people respond really well when you're like, hey, you're kind of that person that I go to and think out loud with, and I want you to know you can call me on my stuff,
yeah.
And I'm going to listen.
Yeah.
I think when you frame the relationship up like that, it changes the dynamic where it's like, oh, we just don't play video games together.
Yeah.
Or we don't just play basketball together.
Yeah.
Like, you... And it causes that person to be like, oh, I probably should ask some more, like, mm-hmm. penetrating questions about how you're doing, if that's how you see me. And I think that's a scary conversation to have, but one that should be had.
Yeah, it's real, man. It's funny. So with the digression, because we haven't had one in a while, you mentioned, like, people going to Facebook first, right? Guess what my thought? So you can't guess. There's no information. So today, every once in a while, I'm like, oh, I should tweet this or Facebook this, right? This is in my life, right? So my mind was today, not, oh, how can I be a better man? It was like, how is it that my daughter can't spin around in a circle without falling, but she can put her foot in my mouth in the dark when it's bedtime every time? Like, bow, 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 foot is in my mouth, like, in the dark. Like, how does she have this skill set? That's what I was going to the people with. You know what I'm saying? Then I decided, no thanks. You know what I'm saying? This is my life, and Alexa will not tell everybody all my business, right? So it's just funny, like, if I said that to say that if Facebook and social media becomes the go-to for the guru, that's ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? I feel like mine was probably Facebook worthy just because, like, yo, that's an amazing talent that she has. Can't spin in a circle without falling down. But boom, boom, them toes are in my mouth. She kicked me in my face like 3 times tonight. And I was, at first I was angry. Then I was like, all right. I mean, she's doing it on purpose, but she's not trying to hurt me. But it's amazing that she can do this in the dark, like foot to mouth. You know what I'm saying? That's what you need to be going to the social medias with. You know what I'm saying? Not this stuff. You need to have a real life person that you can have these real conversations with that can hug you when you cry. That's that intimacy. Maybe we ain't touching feet, but if you ever need to cry, man, I got you.
Thanks, bro.
You know what I'm saying? Lay your head on my bosom. You know what I'm saying? Get in there deep.
For sure. I mean, that's that like... that trend, like, are in the trenches with one another mentality of, like, you kind of have been, like, there's dudes in my life who I can think of that I literally have, like, weeped.
Yeah.
And they've just been willing to sit there and put their arm around me and be like, go ahead, bro.
Yeah.
Like, this is okay right now.
Yeah.
And that's a super vulnerable place. Like, even thinking about it, I'm a slightly uncomfortable.
Hey, man.
But it's like... but when you're in that place,
I like it, bro.
You kind of got to lean into it, I guess.
Drop them tears, man. And the worst thing you could do in the moment when you're having those times is to grab a tissue. It's something about grabbing a tissue. It just destroys that moment, man. I think that comes from my Pentecostal background. People's, and they just crying. And somebody gives them a tissue. Like, okay, yo, I got to get myself together. I can't be out here like this. But no, man, I don't. You ain't touching the tissue. You're going to let them tears fall. The snot going to flow. Everything's going to happen.
Ugly cry.
Ugly cry, man. This is that meme face. You familiar with that sound?
Not that sound.
There was a guy that was getting interviewed on Sana Vanyant, and I think DMX might have had one of those moments, but there's a guy, I think he has no teeth in his mouth, and he's a popular meme of him just crying. That's how he sounded when he cried.
Jeez.
Bro. That's like that.
He probably doesn't have that friend in his life.
Bro, that's when you know it's real. When you make that noise, when you cry, it's bad, bro. Or it's good.
Just trying to find air. Just trying to breathe.
There's something, man. The pain has just hit you so hard. Reality just sunk in that you're a terrible dude so bad that that's the only thing that comes out, man. And since it's 2017 and the world is digital, I think that is nothing wrong, too, with having community online. And I'm speaking more like gaming community because I have guys that I do therapy with, and sometimes they don't have a lot of... one-to-one people in real life. Now, again, I'm not saying don't have that, but I know a lot of guys that establish relationships with people over a common game that they're playing. They hop on the mic, they had these conversations or whatever, and in that time of escape, within limits, right? Because I know for me, if I get an hour a day, I'm good. Of course, you know, it usually becomes 2 hours depending on what time of night it is. But if I can get that hour a day, I need to be more responsible about the friends list that I have on the PS4. I'm an Xbox guy, but somebody gave me a PS4, so I'm in there. But just being able to not just play and zone out, which is okay to an extent, right? But also just why not be in communication with somebody? Mm-hmm. Meet somebody in, you know, Guam or Puerto Rico or whatever, and y'all have a conversation, learn about the world. You know what I'm saying? So it's about broadening your horizon, and you can kind of do that at the same time. So it does, even in that realm, I'm just saying you have a way to communicate with people and being able to establish relationships so that even in that time of gaming, they can still be constructive. Does that make sense? You follow me?
Yeah, for sure. I think it doesn't even have to be gaming. I think, man, there's so much truth in what you just said of just like being open to like creating this, like these human connections with one-off conversations that you have with someone. Like, what I love about this is me and Allison travel quite a bit. And what we've learned in traveling is over in Europe, especially, they put you at tables literally with other people as you eat. Like, mm-hmm. it's a super awkward situation because they're like, hey, you'll sit right here. And you're like, these folks are like halfway through their meal. I'm not trying to like sit down in the middle of their meal. But multiple times it's turned out where a conversation strikes up, like, and one in particular that always comes to mind is we sat down with this father, 60-year-old father and son. I may have even talked about it before, but basically the older gentleman like had lost his wife, was traveling the world after he has lost his wife, and he was just talking about his wife and what, like, why they had such an amazing relationship. And for me, even though it was one conversation and one interaction, like, I gained so much from that interaction, mm-hmm. About what it is to be a husband and to love your wife and to care for her for, you know, 40, 50 years. And it was on my honeymoon. So it was like this perfect time to like learn from someone. So again, I think we as people just be open to listening to others, creating those like real relationships, being vulnerable, being real. I think that's the other thing is we live in this Instagram world where it's like people saw like that picture and this picture of us being happy. Well, they don't get to see us being sad. Right. And I think, do you have people in your life that like also experience those sad moments with you? Because if you don't, that's a very lonely place to be, I would guess.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's what we're missing. And I think that's the problem when we're going to this digital world, that it becomes like the movie Surrogates, or it becomes like episodes of Black Mirror, you know what I mean? Where we just don't have that connection. And if we do have it, it's based in some Alexa being a force to be reckoned with in our lives. You know what I'm saying? And we don't have real people.
Sure.
And so, yeah. So I think those are pretty much kind of like the three areas, you know, people that pour into you, people you pour into, and people that are kind of maybe a mixture of both, or, you know, just somebody or somebody's that you can have that varied relationship with, that it's not all one way or the other. And I think, again, it's not selfish to be in a relationship with somebody where all you're doing is just soaking up game. Like, that's good. You know what I'm saying? It's not selfish to only pour into somebody else and not, you know what I'm saying? Well, the problem is when you're only doing one of those two things exclusively, right? If you're not intentionally sitting down and getting game as well as giving game, and then as well as having the mixed situation. And I think too often, because of what you mentioned before, the society we live in, the culture of America, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you did it on your own. Trump, I got a, you know, loan, what do you say, a modest loan of $1,000 or $1 million from my father, or whatever that quote is. You familiar with that?
I know the story.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Oh, you've also got a modest loan of $1 million for yourself.
No, I know the story that you're of Trump.
I know that story personally. I've also had a modest loan of $1 million from
that
my
has
father.
Never been blessed to me. I would take it. If you would like to give me a modest loan of $1 million.
Just a small loan.
With no interest, I would take it.
Please, I would enjoy that myself, too. I might buy a lot of scratch-offs, a little lottery scratch-offs. What did you do with your money? I was just trying to double up.
Trying to multiply.
I was just trying to multiply, man. Jeez. You know? One scratcher at a time. 1 million scratchers at a time. No, I do not play the scratchers. But yeah, and I think it's just so easy to say, I think, you know what I'm saying? I don't know when I want to be definitive. Is that a humble approach that I'm taking? Is that false humility?
It's just, I don't know.
All right. It was just difficult. I couldn't get past that sentence without saying, I think.
Sure. Yeah. Got nothing.
Fine, man. Thanks. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for having my back on that one, man. I was trying to be vulnerable with
you. I was trying to think of something and I had nothing. I had nothing to say. Like, you can think it or you can know it. You tell me.
All right, man. I was trying to be definitive, man. I was trying to be an expert of some sort, man. And I needed you to say, like, no, man, you know.
You do know.
It's too late, man.
Sorry.
Self-doubt has already crept in.
Sorry.
Man.
You probably don't.
Even better. Now I can prove my point. You know what I'm saying? I do know. I'm going to tell you. Yeah, man, I think it's just we can't be afraid as men to be intimate with each other, to be known, to know, to make sure that we are intentional about spending time with men, quality time, whatever the case may be, going on retreats, going fishing. And it's when you are in a position to get game, give game, be in a mutually exclusive relationship, there is a self-awareness that comes about. There is a self-esteem that is built. There is a personal development and growth, which was the point of me saying this, that happens that doesn't happen outside of that.
Sure.
You know, mom can't give it to you. Aunties can't give it to you. TV, music, television, pop culture, stars, reading books, it just can't give it to you. There's a personal interaction. We're communal people. We're meant to live in community. We're meant to live and to be and to be examined and to examine others. And if we're not doing that, we're failing ourselves and we're not living out what we should be living out, you know? So introverts, I'm not, you know, hey, stop it. You know what I'm saying? It's not that easy. I don't know if you've seen that skit on, was it Mad TV with Bob Newhart?
I haven't seen
it. Therapist. Oh man, Google that. So there's a therapist who says, hey man, you know, my sessions usually only last 5 minutes, da 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 da. And so tell me what your problem is. So she says that her problem, he's like, oh, okay, stop it. So that was his response. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. Da, 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 stop it. And then, okay, we have 4 more minutes. What else would you like to do in this time? You know what I'm saying? So anyway, that's a good one. But if you're trying to make excuses for yourself of why you don't have these things or why you don't do these things or why you don't pursue these things, you're just failing yourself. You're just selling yourself short. You're not giving yourself the opportunity to experience life and to gain from others and also to give back. And it's a need for growth and development.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. It's good. I'd say if you are out there, yeah, find those relationships. And I think too, you probably have those relationships already. They just, you may have not called them out to what they could be.
Yeah.
So like you have that homeboy, you've been homeboys for years, but you actually have never talked about anything real.
Yeah.
But like, bro, you know that it's like, bro, you want that relationship to be kind of one of those, kind of fall into these categories. I think it's a hard conversation, yep, just for whatever reason, because we're guys or whatever, to be like, hey, no homo, but I want this to be a way more intimate relationship.
Yeah, man, I want to go deeper.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we have this like overwhelming desire, like need to be like, no homo, bro, like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, that's the exactly right.
But at the end of the day, you should, I promise that conversation will come out to where both of you are encouraged, and it opens up the door for way more beneficial conversations, yeah, than what the Cavs did last night.
Man, for real. Bro, I got a dude that I've been trying so hard to break that seal. You know what I'm saying? Like, I lob them up all the time, man. I've done everything but say, yo, why are you avoiding these real questions about his marriage, about his life? And he just gives me these vague ones, and I do it all the time, and he consistently would not go there. And I'm just like, you know, I haven't known him that long, so it's not like a lifelong dude, but it's just like, bro, like, that's how we are, man. Mm-hmm. That's how dudes are, man. It's like, yo, like, stop it, man. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm doing. Don't give me these generic answers, man. You know what I'm trying to do, man. And they just hit me with the wax on, wax off. Mr. Miyagi, block, block, block. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that's not the type of dude. Like, don't do that, bro. That's not the type of dudes we need to be, man.
Mm-hmm.
Ask for it. Demand it from other people. And be willing to kind of go there.
Yeah, man.
All right, man. Well, listen, you know, I'm trying, in the beginning of the show, I try to help you guys understand, get Satan out of your house, man. We don't want any devices, man. Just go back to the Stone Age, man. Read books, cook in your own house, you know, make sure you got tinfoil over the top of your head or whatever you need to do to make sure your thoughts aren't going out. I should say that, because if we do have
the aliens,
if we have anybody struggling with schizophrenia, schizoaffective disorder, I apologize. But the idea is like, hey, man, if you want to have CIA, NSA, WWE, I don't know, whoever else you want in your house, worldwide entertainment, I don't know. That was Sorry, I was just reaching for
something else.
I was just reaching for another set. That's all I had, man. NSA, CSI, NBA, NBA TV. I don't know. Whoever you try to avoid having in your house, the best way to do that is have no devices that can record your information when you're not telling them to. All right. But if you just want to be cool with 2017, man, feel free.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying?
I feel free.
Hey, man, you have that personal freedom. All I'm saying is freedom ain't free. All right? That's all I'm saying.
It's so funny, the people that are like, freedom ain't free. You got to like live in a hole with no technology. And it's like, you know what? I'm okay with my non-freedom.
Yeah.
Let me know how your hole is.
Hey, man, you know what I'm saying? And I'm a hypocrite because I got 1 foot in. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I got devices. I do things, but I limit it. You know what I'm saying? Google only gets so much from me. Turn that off. Turn this off. There's no notifications for you. All right. You don't get to go through my emails and suggest that I be on time for my plane. No, no. I'll put that in my phone myself. I have a calendar and I'll add that. All right.
I love when I put that flight in my calendar and it's like, hey, you know, your flight's in like 4 hours. Oh, crap. I forgot.
Hey, man, that's good. I just want to put that in myself. I don't need you digging through my emails, Google. Get out of my emails. Get out of that. All right. Those emails aren't for you. And if you're a dude out there, you're listening. If you're a dude out there and you're listening, and you do not mentor, you're not getting mentored, and you don't have people in your life that can kind of mix and mingle in either one of those arenas, you're failing yourself. You're not doing yourself a favor, and you should be ashamed. Male shame, 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 shame. This is a problem. We need it. It's good for our personal growth and development. It's good for growing and developing other people, and it's good practice for being a father if that happens for you one day, or just being a decent individual. Make sure you do that. You know, stop making excuses. Be about that life, and make sure you pull somebody under your wing. And get under somebody's wing. Don't be proud.
It's good, man.
All right, man.
All right, y'all. Well, it's been another great episode. Thank you. John, how can they find you?
JP, man. Actually, I'm no longer JP. There's a guy that's in my social circle that I don't know that well, but he goes by the name JP. So my name is John Parker.
I had to call you John Parker?
I know it's rough, man. It's a lot of syllables, man. You know what I'm saying? I was trying to make it easy for the people, but I might have to switch it up, bro. It's just like, Young Thug wants to go to Jeffrey or whatever he's trying to call himself, man. So I just, John Parker might be the transition, man. It rolls off the tongue after a while. It's just one word, John Parker.
All right, I'll think about it.
All right. C. John Roar is where you find me. I might need to change that too. C. John Parker Roar. SEEJONROAR is where you find me, man.
You get way less Twitter notifications. Yeah, I'm Dan Duncan. Y'all, it's been super good. Thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of Don't Do That, Bro. Hit us up on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, through Fourth District, or also on Twitter through at Don't Do That, Bro. We are on iTunes, SoundCloud. Go rate us, share us with your friends. We try to have fun. We try to have some serious convos that you're not having elsewhere. Yeah. Trying to make men great again.
Yep. Shout out to Joyner Roof, man. We appreciate you telling me not to shame you.
I'm getting so cold. I ain't wait this hard since I was 18. Apologize if I say anything I don't mean. Like, what's up with your best friend?